Kia ora. This program is brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Get your voice heard.
Morning and welcome again to another program this morning called The Three Angels Message, and we're coming live to you on Wellington Access Radio 106.1 FM. Good morning and a happy Sabbath to those who happen to tune in this morning. May the Lord bless you all and keep you safe. And our reading this morning found in the book of Revelation, chapter 14, verses 6, this is the three angels' message telling us this morning, says, "Then I saw another angel flying in the mid-air, and he had eternal gospel to proclaim to those who live on the earth, to every nation, tribe, language, and people. He said in a loud voice, 'Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment had come. Worship him who made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and the springs of water.'" And of course, you can carry on reading this message right up to verses 12. Revelation 14, 6 to 12 is the three angels' message, and it's telling us a message for us for this morning. Friends, I'd like to give thanks to God for this time that we able to bring a message for us for this morning. And of course, our speaker this morning is Pastor Dr. Barry C. Black, and his message is Sealed with a Kiss. Sealed with a Kiss. And that speaker is Dr. Barry C. Black. He'll be our speaker this morning. Friends, may I just remind you that enough talking. Let's get into the message, because this is a long message. Maybe not enough time to continue to carry on. But let's give thanks to God and ask him to presence with us this morning. Dear Father, thank you, Lord, for this moment that you have blessed us. Thank you, Father, for watching over us through every moment of our blessing life. And Lord, pray for those who happen to tune in this morning, Lord, that you bless them all, to keep them the heart to understand what you are preparing for us for your coming, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. In your wonderful name, I pray. Amen.
You to this service, I invite you again to look at our scripture passage in Matthew chapter 27, beginning with verse 26, beginning with verse 47. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26, beginning with verse 47. "And while he was still speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12, with a great multitude, with swords and clubs, came from the chief priest and elders of the people. Now his betrayer had given them a sign, saying, 'Whomever I kiss, he is the one. Seize him.' Immediately he went up to Jesus and said, 'Greetings, Rabbi,' and kissed him." The Greek is kataphilene. It means he kissed him fervently and repeatedly. But Jesus said to him, "Friend, why have you come?" Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And suddenly one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword, struck the servant of the high priest, and cut off his ear. But Jesus said to him, "Put your sword in its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Or do you think that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels?" In other words, more than 72,000 angels. And we know what one angel did in the Old Testament to the Assyrians. One angel slew 185,000 Assyrian soldiers. Jesus said, I've got such incredible backup that my heavenly Father will send 72,000 angels. That many angels can eviscerate a planet. I've given title to this passage. I've called it Sealed with a Kiss. Sealed with a kiss. If Judas had died before the Last Supper, he would have been celebrated as one of the greatest of the disciples. When our blessed Lord at the Last Supper declared, "One of you will betray me," all eyes did not immediately turn toward Judas. Instead of focused suspicion, there was self-distrust as each disciple, with the exception of John, made the query, "Lord, is it I?" Jeremiah 17, verse 9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Never say what you won't do." Lord, is it I? Even Judas made the query, "Lord, is it I?" Only John did not ask that question. John, who was leaning against Jesus, said, "Lord, who is it?" In other words, which one of these guys is going to do it? Because I love you too much, but which one of these fellas is going to do it? And our blessed Lord said, "The one who dips in the dish with me, he's close enough that he doesn't even have to say pass the mashed potatoes. He's close enough to me, he can reach and get it for himself. He's dipping in the dish with me." What is the most disturbing part about Judas's betrayal of our blessed Lord? Could it be that it is that Judas was an answer to prayer? In Luke's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 12, the Bible says Jesus had prayed all night. And verse 16 says, after spending all night in prayer, he selected Judas as one of his disciples. Have you ever received an answer to prayer that carried with it the spirit of betrayal? "Lord, send me somebody to fill the void in my life." And God answered that prayer after you tossed and turned all night. But the answer carried with it the spirit of betrayal. What is so disturbing about this betrayal by Judas of our blessed Lord? Could it be that it is because Judas was a friend? This is no enemy. I mean, this is not someone where you had your guard up. You know, I walk in certain circles where I have my guard up where I go. But there are places where you drop your guard. Jesus had that at Bethany with Lazarus and Mary and Martha. He could let his hair down. "The one who dips with me in the dish." Could it be that the most disturbing part of this betrayal is the position Judas had among the disciples? This was no layman. This was the guy who had the analytical skills. This was the one, John chapter 12, verse 6 tells us, who took care of the money box. He was so trusted that Jesus had him taking care of the money. The word of God declares, to whom much is given, much is required. If somebody's going to take you down, you hope it's not going to be the treasurer of the group. Could it be that the most disturbing part of this betrayal is that Judas had seen the miracles of Jesus? He was there at the wedding feast at Cana of Galilee when our blessed Lord spoke to water, and the water, hearing the voice of its creator, blushed so sweetly that it turned into wine. He was there in that boat when Jesus was asleep and the wind was having an argument with the waves, and the disciples awakened the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and like a parent separating incorrigible children, he said to the winds, "Hush," and to the waves, "Be still," and they obeyed his will. Judas was there when they declared, "What manner of man is this? That even the winds and the waves obey his will." He witnessed the miracle when our blessed Lord met a man named Legion in the back country of Gadara and sent squealing demons into oinking pigs. He was there when a woman found more medicine in the hem of our Lord's garment than all of the pharmacies in D.C., Maryland, and Virginia combined. Judas was there when Jesus opened up a Piggly Wiggly in the desert. Well, we're Adventists. A giant supermarket in the desert. Let's clean it up a little bit. Don't want to scare anybody. And fed 5,000 plus with 5 dried biscuits and 2 veggie fish. That's what it says in the Greek. Judas was there when Lazarus' decomposing body was rotting in the sepulcher. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords stood back lest he be accused of fraud or trickery, stood back so that all could see where he was, and spoke 3 little words. When you're connected with power, you do not have to be verbose. "Lazarus, come forth." And the words rolled from his lips and floated along the atmosphere into the darkened sepulcher and commingled with inanimate clay, and life sprang anew in the breast of a dead man, because that man, Jesus, said, "Get up." And when Jesus speaks, something's got to move. John chapter 1 says, "All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made." The 33rd Psalm says, "By the words of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. For he spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast." Judas was there and saw the miracles. Moreover, even in the Garden of Gethsemane, when they arrested him, and Peter, you know, Pete, a little, you know, "Let's get ready to rumble." hadn't had a sword out for very long, so he's swinging. He went for the neck and got the ear. So you know he was out of. And now I got to be honest with you, because it shows you how sin will delude you. I'm a military man, 27 years, joined the Navy when I was only 5 years old. And if I'm going to arrest somebody and one of his compatriots pulls out a sword, cuts off one of the ears of the people who happened to come with me, and this guy stoops down, picks up the ear, puts it back on that, excuse me, sir, we got the wrong guy. You understand what I'm saying? We've got the wrong guy. I'm out of here. Judas sees this miracle as well. What is the most disturbing part of about Judas's betrayal of our blessed Lord? Could it be that not only did he see the miracles, but he heard the words of someone of whom it was said, never a man spake like this? You heard those wooing words of Matthew 11, 28 and 29, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Heard our blessed Lord's mournful dirge over Jerusalem in Luke 19, 42 through 44. If you had known even now, at least in this your day, the things which belong unto your peace, but now they are hid from your eyes. For the day shall come upon you that your enemies shall cast a trench about you and lay you even with the ground and your children within you, and they shall leave in you not one stone upon another, because you knew not the time of your visitation. Our blessed Lord said, I wanted to protect you like a hen protects its brood from the hawk, the predator, but you would not have me. Judas heard wonderful words of life. What was the most disturbing part about Judas's betrayal of our Lord? Could it be that it was Judas had received delegated power and authority to work miracles? He was with the more than 70 whom Jesus sent out in Luke chapter 10, given power to heal the sick and to cast out demons. He came back with the rest of them, high-fiving one another and saying to our blessed Lord, even the demons are subject unto us in your name. And I've stopped by to tell you, no matter what country you come from and no matter what your ethnicity may be, there is power in the name of Jesus. Oh, bless his name. Demons tremble at the sound of that name. Jesus, oh how sweet the name. Jesus, every day the same. No matter what language you say it in, Jesus, let all flesh proclaim his worthy name forever. What was the most disturbing? I believe, my sisters and brothers, the most disturbing part to me was the hypocrisy of the betrayal. Judas knew that Jesus hated hypocrisy. His most scathing, his most excoriating words were about hypocrisy. He said in Matthew 23, verse 15, woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you traverse land and sea, internationals. You traverse land and sea to make one convert, and then you make that convert twice the son of the devil as you are. That's what Jesus said in Matthew 23, 15. He says, you're internationals. You travel Asia. You travel the continents. But then you take that convert and make him or her twice the son of perdition as you are. And then in Matthew 23, 23, he said, woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, Well, you pay tithe of mint, anise, and cumin, but have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, justice, mercy. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. You pay tithe on the little garden herbs that grow under your porch, the mint, the anise, and the cumin, and yet you do not have justice and social responsibility in your lives. Hypocrites, he said. And then in Matthew 23:27, he said, woe unto you scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs on the outside, but inside dead men's bones. And Judas was so much the hypocrite that in the upper room, he says to Jesus, Lord, is it I? And then he says to those with him, the one that I philine, the one that I kiss, he is the one. And then he kisses him kataphilin, fervently and repeatedly, as students often did their rabbis. And Jesus looked at him and said, friend, Judas rejects that last appeal of mercy. It's still not too late. I know I told you in the upper room what you got to do. Do quickly, but friend, why are you here? The most disturbing thing about Judas's betrayal of our blessed Lord to me is that betrayal was sealed with a kiss. My sisters and brothers, we need to hear this word, because this is International Day, but the reality is that nations and countries and governments have often betrayed us. And we need to know that we can beat betrayal, whether we are the perpetrators or the recipients of that betrayal. You can beat betrayal, even when it's sealed with a kiss. And I've got USA on my little Olympic medal here. But the reality is, I did not come here voluntarily to this land. And the reality is, I would not have come had my people not sold me in the motherland. We celebrate the motherland, but remember, we were sold by folk who looked like us. And then, when I got here, I was a slave. They fought a war where 620,000 people died to see if this nation, so conceived and so dedicated, could long endure. Nations, you would have thought 620,000 plus people dead, that would make people study war no more, but technology advanced in World War I, the trench warfare, more than 11 million people died as nations betrayed one another. And you would have thought that that would have ended all war, but in World War II, 50 million plus. Some estimate that between 60 and 80 million people died, because when you deal with nations, you are dealing with human beings, you are dealing with human institutions. And Proverbs 14:34 says, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Hear me, sin is an equal opportunity destroyer. sin doesn't care whether you're Asia, Africa, North America, South America, Europe, Australia, or even one of my favorite places, Antarctica. We used to cruise our ships in Antarctica. Sin will destroy, and often we are betrayed. Imagine the German people when Hitler decides to march into Russia. They had to say, are you out of your mind? You know what happened to Napoleon there? We're often betrayed by our leaders and betrayed by our nation. And I've stopped by to tell you that in this world, you will experience betrayal. And we get upset because we're naive. We think we're in Mr. Rogers' neighborhood. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor. Would you be mine? Would you be my neighbor? Hello, butler. Hello. You remember Joseph? Joseph was pretty boy. The Bible says, Genesis chapter 39, here's the Holy Spirit speaking. Joseph was handsome and well built. Now see, that's more information than I need. See. You already said he's handsome. Now why are you gonna rub it in by throwing in and well built? Okay, I didn't need to know that. That's the Holy Spirit. Okay. Potiphar brought him home. Mrs. Potiphar is reported to have said, is it hot in here or is it just me? This boy was good looking. His mama was Rachel. The Bible says of Rachel, she was comely. That means beautiful of face and form. Rachel was so pretty, Genesis chapter 29, Jacob started when he met her. That's a pretty woman. That's a pretty woman. When you introduce her to, you know, Chaplain Black, this is, I'm so happy. That's a pretty woman, okay? Now, there are a lot of women who will make you cry after you meet them. But for somebody to make you cry when you meet them, that's a pretty woman. And Joseph is looking just like mama. Pretty boy. And his brothers are looking just like Leah and her maid. Y'all remember Leah, don't you? Y'all remember the Shenanay of the Old Testament. Yeah. Looking just like old cross-eyed Leah, churning out babies every 9 months, looking just like her. And to add insult to injury, Jacob puts a coat of many colors on Denzel. Now, he's already handsome. And you gonna put an Armani coat of many colors on? So here he, old Denzel, walking around. His brother's looking like Jimmy Walker. And this kid doesn't realize that betrayal is all around you. I had a dream the other night, guys. Maybe you can help me figure it out. I just don't know what happened. In that dream, see, you gotta be careful to whom you tell your secrets. In that dream, we were in a field, sheaves of wheat. My sheaf stood up straight and your sheaves bowed down to my sheaf. What could that possibly mean? Don't be naive. You will be betrayed if you stay here long enough. And that wasn't enough. A few nights later, I had another dream. I had another one, guys. You want to hear it? You ever had a sibling? I had another one. This time, the sun, moon, and 11 stars bow down to me. My sisters and brothers, love sees from afar. Luke 15, the parable of the prodigal son. The father sees that son from afar. Love sees from afar, but so does hate. His brothers see him at a distance. Genesis chapter 37 and says, behold, the dreamer comes. We're talking blood here. Come now, let us kill him. How do you say that to your siblings about another sibling? Come now, let us kill him and cast him into a pit. And here they're already strategizing, and we will say a wild beast hath destroyed him. Dip that pretty coat of pretty boy in sheep blood, and we will see what will become of his dreams. And I've stopped by to pop the balloon of ethnocentrism. Well, I'm so proud of where I am and what I do, and then, you know, where you're from, and all this, you know, Olympic, you know, who's got the most gold medals. Let me tell you something. You can have all of the medals on the planet, but if you lose your soul, what difference does it make? Stop by to tell somebody, you can beat betrayal even when it comes from your own government. Supreme Court once declared in the Dred Scott decision that I'm 3/5 human. That's betrayal. In Plessy v. Ferguson, 1896, they institutionalized separate but equal, which enabled Jim Crow to be perpetuated for decades. And when I went to school in Alabama in the early 60s, I had to drink out of colored water fountains. And when I tried to go to the white remnant church, big deacon, about 6'5", says, you'll enjoy worshiping with the coloreds. You can't come in here. And the saints knew what was going on. I'm talking about Sabbath keepers. When they were in there singing, we are not divided, all one body, we one in faith and charity, while Oakwood University students were being turned away. And when a diminutive Baptist preacher by the name of Martin King showed up on campus, and I'll be honest with you, I was reading Malcolm then. I was so angry with Adventism that I was reading Malcolm. And it took a Baptist preacher showing up. And I'm angry. I didn't even want to hear what he said, but he said it in such a pleasant way. He said, we shall overcome. He said, we shall overcome because the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends toward justice. We shall overcome because Carlyle is right. No lie can live forever. We shall overcome because William Cullen Bryant is right. Truth crushed to earth will rise again. We shall overcome because James Russell Lowell is right. Truth forever on the scaffold, wrong forever on the throne, yet that scaffold sways the future. And behind the dim unknown standeth God within the shadows, keeping watch above his own. We shall overcome because the Bible is right. You shall reap what you sow. Betrayed by my own church. It took somebody keeping Sunday for Saturday to let me know that there is a God who can enable me to beat betrayal, no matter where it comes from. Now let's unpack this and then I'll let you go. Three admonitions I want to give you. If you're going to beat betrayal, respect the origin of betrayal. You're going to beat betrayal. Respect the origins of betrayal. You see, when you're betrayed by your country, when you're betrayed by your church, when you're betrayed in relationships, don't hate those who are doing it. The origins of betrayal reside in the soil of the demonic. Ephesians 6:12 says, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." Respect the origins of betrayal. Matthew chapter 16, Jesus said to his disciples, "I'm going to go to Jerusalem. I'll be abused by the chief priests and the rulers, and they will crucify me." And Peter, who was always quick to speak, he always put his mouth in motion before he put his brain in gear. And I believe he was a big guy. Peter said, "It's not going to happen while I'm, over my dead body. They got to get through me, Jesus, before they get through. I don't care what you say. Nobody's taking you to a cross." And in verse 23 of Matthew 16, Jesus said, "Get thee behind me," not Peter, Satan. He recognized the origins of the betrayal. He knew the origins of those words, even when they were coming from the lips of one of his disciples. Admonition number two: anticipate that betrayal will come from unexpected sources. See, Joseph never thought that his brothers, Lord have mercy, would do this. Check this out, Matthew chapter 10. Verse 21. "Now brother will deliver up brother in death, and a father his child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them," this is in red in my Bible, so this is Jesus talking, "children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death." Anticipate that betrayal will come from unexpected sources. General Joab went to Uriah, said, "King wants to see you." And Uriah said, "Ah, that's wonderful. What a mighty man of God he is. I just always love to be in the presence of the king. Wonderful. You know, I sing the songs he's written because he's such a great musician. I sing the songs he's written. Oh, I love that hymn 24 that he wrote. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon." And I love hymn 27. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom then shall I fear?" I find myself humming hymn 121. "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh I'm going to see that mighty man of God." When he gets there, he says, "Sir, would you like a report on the battle?" David said, No. Sit down, and relax, enjoy yourself." Starts pouring the wine. Uriah's drinking and eating. "Would you like some more? I think I had enough, Your Majesty." No. Have some more. Okay, Your Majesty. All right, if you want me to have some more, I'll have some more. Anticipate betrayal to come from unexpected sources. "The one who dips with me in the dish And finally, David says, "How's that beautiful wife of yours doing?" Remember, Uriah was one of David's mighty men. He was special forces. He was elite. How's that beautiful wife? I haven't been home. Yeah. Why don't you go home? Spend some time. You've been in the field. Spend some time with what's her name? Bathsheba. Yes, with Bathsheba. The light of conscience flickered in the heart of Uriah, and he said, I ain't gonna do it. Can't do it. What are you talking about? I'm the king. I'm giving you permission to do it. The ark of God, the soldiers of God, excuse me, king, are in the field. They're sleeping on the ground, king. As the Lord liveth, ain't gonna do it. Hear me, hear me, hear me. Uriah had more integrity trunk than David had sober. An alarm bell should have gone off in the conscience of David. We hear this warrior inebriated and a wife that looks like Bathsheba. You know, I'd have had a drive-by on the way to the king. I'm gonna say, I've been up to see 6 months. I got to be honest with you, sometimes we don't even make it home. I have to pull off at the rest stop. Yes. Help me, Holy Ghost. Keep my mind clear for just a little while. Anticipate betrayal. Anticipate betrayal will come from unexpected sources. Final admonition is fight betrayal with spiritual weapons. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 4 says, "The weapons of our warfare are not carnal." Put away your sword, Peter. I don't need your weapons. I've got backup that you don't know about. And one of the things that has enabled me to keep my sanity, people read my resume, only African-American admiral in the history of the United States Navy Chaplain Corps, only African-American chaplain of the United States Senate, and they think it's been a magic carpet ride. Let me tell you something. I've been through hell. You're not a pioneer without going through hell. Used to receive racist emails anonymously. I thought my first name began with N. Don't you let the glide across the water of the duck fool you. There's a whole lot of kicking going on underneath. But I've discovered that right now I can call on my Father. Oh yeah, hit me with your best shot. I can call on my Father, and He can send 72,000 angels. If I just give the signal, beam me up, Scotty. If I give the signal, my daddy had a song that described him. The Temptations used to sing about my daddy when they said it was the 3rd of September. That day I'll always remember. That's right, my papa was a rolling stone. My mama, I felt betrayed. Because he was never around. He was just around long enough to ensure that I had siblings, and then he was not around. Wherever he laid his hat was his home. And my mother, godly woman, morning and evening worship. Every time church door opened, we were there. Early morning prayer service. Wednesday night prayer meeting, which I hated. I hated Wednesday night prayer meeting. Particularly the testimony period. Lord have mercy. Because at Berea, we had those singing testimonies. And the only ones who would do it were the ones who couldn't sing, boy. And then they'd mess up a song and say, "And that's my testimony." Lord have mercy. Now, my mother would sit us down morning and evening worship, and she would, I still remember, so young, we would have to repeat after her. You repeat after me, children. Dear Jesus, please help daddy, please help daddy to stop drinking, to stop drinking. Every evening, every morning, we'd be, dear Jesus, please help daddy to stop drinking, to stop drinking. Went to Baltimore Junior Academy, grade 1 through 10, then went one of illustrious academic institution that was not mentioned in my introduction. I'm a Pine Forge man. That's right. Went to Pine Forge Academy. As I approached getting ready to go to Oakwood University, I stopped praying for my father. This is foolishness. That man won't stop drinking. I'd pray for and theology major. I'd pray for everybody but my father. Lord bless the pygmies in Africa. Lord bless the lepers in Calcutta. I pray everybody but my daddy. Because I felt betrayed. But my mama kept wielding the powerful spiritual weapon of prayer. Mama kept praying. One day I came home from Oakwood University and they said, Barry, said, you theology major. I said, yeah. I said, why don't you preach for us today? In those days, they lay hands on you suddenly. Preach for us today. I got up and I preached, and at the end of my sermon, I made an invitation for those who had never asked Jesus to be Lord of their lives to come and make that commitment and pray the sinner's prayer with me. Jesus, I believe when you died on Calvary, you paid my sin debt in full, past, present, future. I accept you as Lord of my life. And to show you that God has a sense of humor, as the people started coming, I didn't even see him in the congregation. Who should get up, no tie, all dirty, but my daddy coming down the aisle? I was ambivalent. I was confused because he was the last person. I had so much anger and hatred. He was the last person. This is the guy who betrayed me, and you gonna use me to bring him to you? You see, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. He never went to AA. He put the bottle down and never picked it up again. He died a Sabbath keeper, a member of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And he's got a lot of explaining to do when we get to heaven. But praise God, he will be there, because you can beat betrayal. Your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed. I want to make an appeal on this International Day. I want to appeal today to people who are betraying the Lord Jesus Christ through backsliding. You're here today. But during the week, you do things that bring outward reproach upon the name of Jesus Christ. You are a prodigal in a pig pen, the far country. You need to return. You need to be rebaptized. And you need to accept the amazing grace that Jesus Christ, your Savior, wants to give. In a sense, like Judas, you're in that garden. You've sealed your betrayal with a kiss. Hypocrisy. No one even knows what you are doing, but you do. And Jesus says to you what he said to Judas, friend, why are you here? It's his last plea of mercy. The only difference between Judas and Peter is Peter went out and wept bitterly and repented. Peter, the backslider, returned. Judas went out and hanged himself. He
died. Dear friends, we come to the end of our program. I'll be back again next week to bring another Three Angels message to you this next Sabbath. I'll leave you with this text here. Says here, Revelation 14 with 13 says, 12 says, here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. May the Lord be with you all. May the Lord bless you today. May the Lord keep and save wherever you go. Amen.
The program was brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Get your voice heard. Thanks New Zealand On Air for funding accessmedia.nz.